Lord, our God and our Father, we thank you that Christ is risen from the dead, the first fruit of a great harvest to come. And Lord Jesus, we call you met with your church on the resurrection day evening and pronounce on them your heavenly peace. What a joy it was for the disciples to meet with the risen Lord, to hear the pronouncement of the heavenly shalom. So Lord God, as we open up your word, we pray that you may whisper peace in our hearts, that we may know you deeper, trust in you greater, and follow you closer, all for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, let us go back to John chapter 18. Let me read verses 3 to 6 again to you. Then Judas, having received a detachment of troops and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, came there with lanterns, torches, and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that would come upon him, went forward and said to them, "Whom are you seeking?" They answered him, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus said to them, "I am." And Judas, who betrayed him, also stood with them. Now, when he said to them, "I am," they drew back and fell to the ground. Well, among the most ancient Greek philosophers, thousands of years ago, the question they were discussing and debating is this question: what is? Now you may think, well, what a question. What is? It wasn't just the ancient Greek philosophers, the ancient Chinese philosophers, some of them at least, were also probing this question. This morning, we began a little series to ponder upon the names of God. And we consider together of God's explanation of his covenant name, Jehovah, as I am. Moses asked the Lord in the burning bush, "What is your name?" And the Lord God answered, "I am." What does that mean? Well, this morning we explore a little, only a little, that name of God is I Am points to God's self-existence. I am who I am. I'm dependent on none, beholden to none. I will do whatever I like. I will have mercy upon whomever. I will show mercy. I will do all my holy will. No one can stop me. I'm accountable to no one, answerable to none. That self-sufficiency of God is pure self-determination. And then at the end of the sermon, I drew your attention to the fact that humanity as a whole and modern man in our time is so mad as this self-revelation of God as I am. Because humans, modern man, is saying, no, you're not Lord. You're not the I am, but I am. I don't want to be submissive to you. I don't want to be bound to your law. I am. So we have the I am of God and the I am of man fighting against each other, so to say. Now tonight I want to carry on that thought. We're going to have a little meditation on I am. I am not, and I am. Now we can teach a 3-year-old, even 2-year-old, certainly a 4-year-old, about the text we consider today. I am. I am not, and I am. Now the child may think we're talking nonsense. It's not nonsense. Tonight we're going to look at the declaration of our Lord Jesus Christ as I am in the Garden of Gethsemane. And then we follow on to see Peter's denial of the Lord a couple of hours later when Peter said, I am not. And then we shall end by considering the Christian's self-identity. Now friends, as we consider the names of God, first of all, we must understand this is God's self-revelation. It's God making known to us what He is like. Just now I mentioned about the ancient Greek philosophers and the ancient Chinese philosophers. They did not have the Holy Bible. They did not have God's self-revelation of His own names, and they can only explore as much as they can with all the facility of human wisdom. And the conclusion they came to, at least some of them came to, is that we don't know. God has no name. We can't know Him. But when we come to the scripture, with God's self-revelation of Himself, we come to know that the Lord God of the Bible is intensely personal, deeply revelational, and His passion, His deep desire is to bring rebellious humanity back to Himself. In many ways, we can say, with God's self-revelation about Himself, it is so much easier to understand. You read philosophies, unless you're very smart, you say, well, I can't follow. But when we come to the Bible, remember the I am sayings of Christ in John's Gospel. Our Lord Jesus says, purposely, in this way, I am the bread of life. I can feel your hunger. I can satisfy your thirst. I am the bread of life. Or, as Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Our Lord Jesus says, this world is full of darkness, but I came as the light to this world. But when the light of God came, the world pushed back. Is that not what we are seeing now? This world is getting darker and darker. In one sense, I say only in one sense, And when the light of the gospel is shining, people get angry. And our Lord Jesus says, I am the door. You can only enter through God's kingdom by the door of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives life for the sheep. There's no shepherd better than Christ. He laid down his life for his sheep. In John 11, our Lord Jesus said to Martha, the grieving sister, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And we heard that at almost every Christian funeral, the declaration of our Lord, I am the resurrection and the life. John 14:6, our Lord Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. The older one of us still remember this text is the motto of the Billy Graham Crusade. Now we are not allowed a crusade, but more importantly, now when we say our Lord Jesus Christ is the way, the only way, the truth and the life, there's a strong reaction. Our Lord Jesus says, I'm the vine, you're the branches, to the disciples. And in case we miss it, in John chapter 8, verse 58, our Lord Jesus says solemnly, Amen, amen, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. We can't miss it, can we? Our Lord Jesus Christ is Jehovah, the great I am. And the Jews who heard the declaration of our Lord Jesus, they didn't miss it. As they heard us, they say, they pick up stones to stone Jesus. You have committed blasphemy. And early on in that chapter, Jesus said to his hearers, I said to you, you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am, you will die in your sins. That is the gospel. That is the truth. Jesus says, if people do not believe that I am, they will die in their sins. There will be no possibility of salvation except by faith in Christ. You know how offensive that is? Over the world, especially in the Western countries. Now coming back to the Garden of Gethsemane. Our Lord Jesus took the disciples there. There he poured his soul before his Father in utter humility, in obedience to the Father's arrangement of his life, and to fulfill his own mission from heaven above, he was ready to be arrested. And then came Judas, the betrayer of the Lord. How anyone could do that is an indicator of human sinfulness and the attraction of money. So Judas came along with troops, they carried along with weapons, and we are told in John 18, verse 4, Jesus, knowing all things that would come upon him, went forward and said to them, whom are you seeking? The Lord Jesus took the charge. The 11 disciples were with him. He stepped forward boldly and said, to these troops, whom are you seeking? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus replied, I am. And those soldiers drew back and fell to the ground. That was the last miracle our Lord Jesus did. And the soldiers just could not stand at the pronouncement of these two simple words, I am. If the Lord Jesus said it once more, it would all be destroyed. But our Lord Jesus went on to say to them, I've told you that I am. If you seek me, let this go their way. Oh, the loving kindness of our Lord Jesus. He was so mindful of the disciples. These my boys, they are not ready yet to suffer. He asked the soldiers to let the disciples go. You're only after me? Arrest me. Let them go. If they were arrested, they would not be able to stand at that hour. And John tells us the Lord Jesus did that in order to fulfill his own saying to his Father, of those who gave me, I've lost none. Only a short while ago, in the high priestly prayer, our Lord Jesus said to his Father, when I was with my disciples in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I've kept, and none of them is lost, except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Oh, the Lord Jesus was conscious to keep all his disciples intact, that they should not deny their Lord and fall into perdition. We follow on. While Lord Jesus was protecting the disciples, Simon Peter stepped forward. He got a sword. He was ready. And he acted. He got his sword and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. And we are even told the servant's name was Marcos. Well, John the Apostle knew the high priest and his family, and he knew the name of this servant. Out of love and concern for the Lord, Peter stepped forward. We admire his courage. He was ready to fight. He was ready to lay down his life for the Lord. He was burning with love and zeal for the Lord Jesus. Peter was a lover of Christ. He was a bold and courageous disciple. There he was. He was in action. But our Lord rebuked him. He said to Peter, put your sword into the sheath. Shall I not drink the cup which my Father has given me? Stop that, Peter. This is not the time to fight. I must surrender myself. Put your sword back. The cup of wrath against sin that my Father has given me to drink, I must drink it. Our Lord Jesus was not a victim of his circumstances. He was not defeated by his enemies. He was the very obedient Son of the Father. He obeyed the Father to the point of death, even death on the cross. Even the cross as the very curse of the righteous Father against sin. Jesus was hung there on the cross, not as a helpless victim. He was there, taking the cup of God's wrath and chewing the whole cup to the last straw. I must drink that cup. Well, at the request of our Lord Jesus, the 11 disciples were let go. Since they let the authorities obey what our Lord Jesus said, well, they should have rest, the 11 disciples as well, isn't it? If you are going to stop this movement of the Messiah, you have to get all the disciples as well. But they just instinctively obey what the Lord Jesus said. So by pronouncing, "I am," the Lord protected his disciples. And then we see Simon Peter following the Lord Jesus at a distance. And there was another disciple, John as well. And he was going closer to Christ. And John, somehow he knew the high priest's household. Some people surmise that, well, John must have some fishing business with the high priest. Could well be, isn't it? He knew the high priest's household, and he got in to that courtyard of the high priest. And we see Peter following on, lovingly following the Lord to his trial. Boldly as well, because his life was in danger. So while Simon Peter was burning with love and concern for the Lord and boldly following the Lord, when we see very suddenly he denied the Lord. All of a sudden, at the door, at the gates, Simon Peter could not get in. John got in, he couldn't get in, and then John told this servant girl, "Well, let Peter get in, he's my mate." And this servant girl, who kept the door, said to Peter, "You are not also one of this man's disciples, are you?" And Peter said, "I am not." What did we hear? What did he say? Was that Simon Peter? Dear friends, that is human nature. We think we are strong. We are sweet as waters. We can never say, "No, I will not do anything so stupid and shameful. I'm a strong Christian. I know my Bible. I know theology." We can never say that. We should have that spirit of the English martyr John Bradford. One day, he was seeing criminal being led to be executed. And he said, "There I go, but for the grace of God. There I go, but for the grace of God." Well, Peter got in. It was cold, we are told. And there was a fire. And we are told that Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. He was getting a bit nervous. It was cold. And then he was warming himself, and he was standing with the enemies of Christ. And then people were starting to say to him, "You are not also one of his disciples, are you?" Peter denied and said, "I am not." What did we hear? Again? Yes, again. "I am not his disciples." Can you say that, Simon Peter? Have you not just heard your Lord say, "I am"? How can you now say, "I am not"? Well, we are told later on, one of the servants of the high priest, a relative of him whose ear Peter cut off, said to Peter, "Did I not see you in the garden with him? He was with Malchus." He would recognize Simon Peter. Wow, Peter is now in deep waters, isn't it? He attacked one of the high priest's servants. Now, just now, I make a mistake. I said, when Jesus pronounced "I am," the soldiers fell back on the ground. That was the last miracle of Jesus. That's the second last, I should say. Because you remember, Jesus' last miracle was to heal that servant's ear and pick up the ear and put it back. I believe it can be done now with modern medicine. But Jesus was not using modern medicine to perform his last miracle, I should say. Sorry for that. Now, we are told Peter denied the Lord again, and immediately a rooster crowed. For 3 times, Peter said, "I am not," even with oath and so on. Paul says, "Therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall." We think we can stand, take heed lest we fall. Yesterday, I watched one of these piece of comments, and apparently recently, in a place called Wenzhou in China, the Chinese government sent 1,000 police to arrest Christian people and shut down their churches. 1,000 police. Some of you may not know, Wenzhou is known as the Jerusalem in China. And Wenzhou was the one place that in the 19th century China inner missionary labored long and hard and brought many to faith in Christ. And one of our friends here told us, she's from China, that the Christians in Pastor Wang Yi Church were still operating their homeschooling system, their Christian school system, and they knew that they could be arrested at any time. And these are Christian people who are middle class, well educated, got money, status in society, and they wish their freedom to educate their children in the way of the Lord. What courage. Well, but back to Simon Peter. He denied the Lord. Remember what Jesus says? Whoever denies me before man, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. We can't mince the word of our Lord Jesus, can we? Whoever denies me before man, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. The early church struggled long and hard about this question, whether the church could receive back to its membership Christians who had denied the Lord under persecution. And there was a big debate. Some were saying, no, we can't receive back Christians who deny the Lord when they were under persecution. And others said, we must if they truly repent. Well, the church as a whole came down on the side that they should receive back to church membership those who deny the Lord under persecution but are now repenting. But there was a big debate and argument leading to the split of the church. And they got very fierce in terms of that debate. So we have Simon Peter's three times, I am not. But we move on to consider the question's identity. What do we say? Remember what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. By the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain, but I labor more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Paul was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor of the church, and a violent man. He supervised the stoning of Stephen, the first martyr. He went to Christians' homes and gathering places to arrest men and women, put them in prison. And yet, he became a Christian and an apostle and the apostle to the Gentiles. And Paul says, it's by the grace of God I am what I am. So friends, what do you say tonight? When you ask yourself, who am I? Who are you? Who am I? Well, you can say, I'm a man. I'm Australian. I'm a husband. I'm a son. But who am I? I hope you can say with the Heidelberg Catechism, I am not my own, but belong, body and soul, in life and in death, to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. What a statement! I hope you're seeing that. What a comfort when you and I can say, I am not my own. Jehovah God is the I am. But I've long surrendered my right over myself, my pride, my self-sufficiency. I'm so foolish to think about that. Now I am not my own. And friends, no one can be a Christian without truly saying that and saying that all the time. I am not my own. It cannot be that someone is a Christian, someone is saved, and take Jesus to be Savior, but not as his Lord. It's just impossible. But within the Christian church, within the evangelical church, there are people who are saying that. Oh yes, you can be a true Christian, but you may not take Jesus to be your Lord. You may not let Jesus to rule over your speech, your thought, your marriage. No. No one can be a Christian without saying, I am not my own. I'm not going to control my life anymore. Self-denial is the beginning of the Christian life. And self-denial is the continuation of the Christian life. By the grace of God, I am what I am. Even though I'm not what I want to be, I'm not what I will be one day, but I am not what I was before. It's by the grace of God that I am what I am. Remember what our Lord Jesus said to his disciples? If anyone decides to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Don't get it wrong. This is not the requirement to become a great A Christian. Oh, if you want to be a better Christian, you want to move on to a higher platform, deny yourself, take up the cross. No. If anyone wants to be a Christian, if anyone decides to come after me, he has to deny himself, say no to self, and take up his cross. What does the cross mean? It means to be dead to self. The cross means death, and follow Christ. Death to self is the indispensable first step in becoming a Christian. You can't be a Christian without dying to self. And that's not only the first step. That is the continual pathway in Christian discipleship. John Calvin, in his Institute, Book 3, Chapter 7, says about the summary of the Christian life, and that is self-denial. You want to understand what the Christian life is all about? Self-denial. There's no other way. And Calvin got it right, spot on. And he says, we are not our own. And because we are not our own, we must seek the glory of God and obey His will. Does that sound logical? We are not our own. We belong to Christ who bought us with His own precious blood. And we are to seek God's glory and honor. We are to be obedient to Him. And sometimes that obedience can be well very simple and very practical. Just stop your anger when you're being irritated. Maybe by a loved one, even. Instead of the burst of anger, no, I can't. Why? Because I'm not my own. I've lost my right to be angry unrighteously. That's self-denial. And Calvin goes on to say, self-denial is the sum of Paul's teaching. I think he's spot on again, isn't it? What is a Christian? What is our identity, dear friends? Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 5 to 6, Christians are those who once were dead in trespasses, but are now made alive together with Christ. And they will raise with Christ together. And they'll be made to sit together with Christ in the heavenly places. So Christian people are those who once were dead in trespasses, but they have been made alive in Christ. When Christ was raised, they were raised. And furthermore, friends, brothers and sisters, we are now sitting at the right hand of God in heavenly places with Christ. How can that be? Here we are on earth. Christ is in heaven above, at the right hand of God. But our head is there, and the bodies must follow. Someone, only God, a head without a body, doesn't look nice, is it? Christ is the head, we are the body. Even now, our inheritance is in heaven above. Even now. And friends, we are called to be faithful to the Lord. In Paul's last letter, 2 Timothy chapter 2, where he said, "This is a faithful saying. If we die with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself." If we call ourselves Christians, we have died with Christ, and we are to live with him, and we are to endure. We are not to deny him. We are to be faithful. I'll end with this favorite hymn of Pastor Wang Mingdao of Beijing, China. Some of you heard of Wang Mingdao. He was born in the year 1900. He died after the death of his father as a Christian. His father was in Beijing, was surrounded by foreigners. Because he was a Christian, he was hiding with other people. In a moment of despair and fear, his father killed himself. But he was born after the death of his father. And then the Lord raised him up as a courageous evangelist. He preached again to sinners, especially of God's people. Called many to repentance and faith. Stood firm during the Japanese occupation of Beijing. He won't compromise, he won't bow to the Japanese the picture of the emperor. He stood firm. When the communists came, he stood firm. He was arrested. And then, under relentless questioning and deprivation of sleep and so on, standard communist torture, he broke down. And he confessed that he was a spy of the Western nations. Oh, he was so broken. But he stood up again. And he was in prison for many years. And he was released as a very old man. And his favorite hymn, he loved to sing. I think I watched one of these videos that he sang. Isaac watched him. "Am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb, and shall I fear to own his cause, or blush to speak his name?" Dear friends, who are we? Who am I? What am I? I am a child of God. A forgiven sinner and a soldier of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. O Lord our God, if at any time Christians have to stand up, it's our time. Because even as we stand up and speak the basic truth, that Jesus alone is the way, the truth, and the life, people will kick us out from human society, so to say. When we are certain to maintain the basic biblical standards for morality, we are counted as people who are antisocial, who are hateful of humanity. Oh Lord, you know, even in the so-called free will, it's become increasingly difficult to be a Christian believer. But we do remember our brothers and sisters in other countries, in Nigeria, in China, in Vietnam, in many Muslim countries. Oh Lord, be with them. Grant them your presence and help your church, your people, to stand up for the Lord Jesus. Not to yield to sins, not to compromise. Help us, O God, to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. May we know what it means to depend on you, Jehovah, the great I Am. May we know what it means to believe in Jesus our Lord, who says, I'm the good shepherd. I'm the bread of life. I'm the resurrection and the life. We pray for our friends who are not well, who are sick, who are weak. Be with them, O God. Help them to trust in you. In all circumstances, grant them your own presence. And now, O God, dismiss us with your loving presence. May we rejoice every day as your children. May we fight the good fight of faith as soldiers of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His name we pray.